Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 45 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your hosts, as always, are Kingsley, Mac, and Sin. Sin, it's just us this evening, but how are you doing?
Inebriated and magical. How about yourself?
I'm good. Why are you inebriated? What was going on today? I didn't really care about it as much, but I believe a lot of people did.
Super Bowl Sunday. Really, for me, it's a time to unwind, eat a lot of food, and drink a lot.
I don't dispute that. Even though I don't enjoy watching sports, I've had fun going to Super Bowl get-togethers before. We just didn't have one to go to this year, so we just stayed home. So we were like, don't care about watching the game. So we were just watching some Fringe and other stuff. But I did check the score occasionally and saw that Kansas City was behind for a while. And I thought that's how the game was going to go. And then all of a sudden I checked the score again and they were ahead by 4 points. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll turn it on. So Stacy and I watched it when there was like that 3 minutes left, and then saw San Francisco just flub it. And then Kansas City got another score and we're like, oh, it's over. And then we just turned it off.
Yeah, and then San Francisco in the last 2 minutes throw an interception to seal their fate. GG for Andy Reid on his 222 games or whatever, and finally winning his first championship. So good for him, at least on that.
Yeah, I saw Kansas City has not won or gone to the Super Bowl in 50 years. I forget what the stat was, but something like that.
Yeah, 50 years for Kansas City. But prior to that, Andy Reid was the head coach for the Eagles and never had a championship victory with the Eagles. Even though I believe they got to the championship game, but lost to Tom Brady and company 1 year.
Interesting. But yeah, hopefully you had fun watching the game, and I checked out a couple commercials here and there. But I'll have to get a list later of other than just that Doritos one, what the good commercials were of the night, so I can go back and watch them.
Yeah, that the Doritos one with Old Town Road was definitely one to remember, and I did post a GIF and the video, I believe, in our general section of Discord. Mm-hmm. The guy's mustache was priceless.
The only thing, see, like me being picky, is like I wish like his moves were a little, he could actually legit do those moves instead of you seeing it was clearly a stunt double and it was like totally outrageous. Like I would have been so much more impressed if he actually could do those moves, you know, then I would have liked the commercial even better, but it was still good. It was still
good, right? For sure.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about Destiny somewhat, right?
A little.
Yeah, we won't keep this super long. We'll have a little bit shorter show this week, and then we have some great guests lined up I'm excited about. You guys will hear from later. But I'll start with you, Sin, and maybe you obviously have a little bit less. Did you do anything in Destiny this week?
The only thing that
reset
I was
to reset to
do prior to reset Monday night, with my work schedule this week and being end of month, but a shout out to my team at work for finally hitting over the 100 card mark this month. First time ever this team has hit over 100, but it took a lot of grinding. I was from Saturday to Friday, 74.44 hours of work, and still worked the Saturday right after that, almost 12 hours. So I had a long grind to work this week for in a month, but I was able to Monday night finish the quarters of time for the lore before the quarters actually close. That was the only thing that I was able to squeeze in this week.
And see, now I'm hearing that it actually can, you can open it back up again if you do it on another character that hasn't done all the same missions yet. Supposedly people are saying it'll open up for you if you're like kind of going through brand new or something like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm hearing those rumblings.
I am not sure. I have literally not seen anything this week because it's been work focus all week.
Sure.
No, but that's cool for those who haven't completed it. They can actually go back if that is really true.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know.
I was not chancing it.
Oh yeah, and no, you shouldn't have. And for me, I just didn't care as much. Like, I kind of cared when I knew there was, when people said there was triumph points, because I care about that slightly more than the actual lore. The actual lore, it's like, eh, I don't have it in the game. What do I care? I can read it online anyways. But I'm already kind of like so far behind on triumph and haven't really done much on my second and third character that I'm like, I just don't know if I want to like go through that pain of running it. It seems so boring to me to run it that many times just to get all the pages.
Yeah, fortunately, it was not that awful overall. Okay. I ran the first four lore pieces like prior to the emblem and did the quest for the actual weapon. And then Monday night, I did lore 5 through 19, and it really did not take that long. There was a couple times I thought, man, did I actually do this pattern right? But fortunately, I did them right every single time, and I didn't have to actually go back and repeat one. But within an hour-ish, maybe 2 hours max, I got the last little bit of it done.
That's cool. Well, yeah, and then this week, I didn't get on too much myself. Two notable nights of interest, though. Tuesday night, we ran a Garden of Salvation raid on PlayStation 4. It was actually my first clear on PS4. My other clears have come on the nice PC side. And our team morphed together pretty well. I should look up raid report here while I'm talking. Everyone that was in it, but I remember it was AR's first time. He had not stepped in the raid at all. And shout out to AR. He picked up everything very quickly, and we just breezed through until the end encounter. And even the end encounter, we didn't stumble too much. I want to say we got a couple false starts and maybe like 4 or 5 tries maximum. And then on that last try, we were able to do a kind of a normal two phase of that last encounter, and we just made it work. So it was shout out to all the guys that joined up. I know Soccer was in there. I believe Lucifer was in there. GoHawks, kind of the typical crew. We had a lot of fun doing that.
Nice.
And then on Friday night, we ran a Crown of Sorrows raid. Hadn't done that for a little bit. Getting some interest in that one again, which is really cool because I go back into it, I'm like, yeah, I actually like this raid. You know, you kind of have your partner that you play with the whole time. So you kind of get in a, I know me and you had gotten there before where we're doing those last encounters. And by the end, we almost don't have to tell each other when we're going to the cauldron to swap the buffs. It's like, we just kind of know to go there at the same time, you know?
Right.
And then we'll just swap it. And AR again was my partner. And, we were, yeah, by the time we got to the end, we were just like kind of going to swap the buffs at the same time and not having to talk to each other too much. So that was a lot of fun. And we passed that one also. And I forget, I think it was Lucifer's first time passing that one. Actually, I think we ran it before then another time. I forget, it was in the same week, but Lucifer did get Teraba. It was the first time I've seen anyone get Teraba. And this was nice. On Friday night when he passed it, I think was the second time. And everyone's like, yay, the terrible weapon, Teraba, that no one cares about, but I've never seen anyone get.
Right. Unfortunately, I have not personally got it, even though my raid RNG seems to be on the better side. But I don't think I've completed it that much to where I've probably had the opportunity for it to drop. But yeah, I wouldn't mind stepping back into it.
Yeah, that one must be a pretty rare one to get if you don't even have it after a few times.
No, right.
For everyone else, right?
But that now, was a lot of fun. Did you all do the Divinity run during the new one, Garden of Salvation?
No, we didn't. Again, I kind of, and a lot of people feel the same way as me. It's like, until you know the crew you're running with, or unless you're running with people that have a lot of experience and there's only like one person new, it's not always worth trying to go for Divinity. So we weren't sure, and no one was pushing for it. I guess we could have gone for Divinity. We should have, but with the crew we ran it with, we could easily get Divinity next time if we wanted. So it wasn't a big deal. I already have it myself, so I'm never going to push for it because I know it's kind of a pain doing those things, but I'll gladly help anyone out if anyone needs it. I still just don't have those puzzles memorized on what to do. So some of them are a little bit wonky, especially in that third area where you have to run together and either jump through the tumbler area or go around the other side. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I haven't run any of it yet, but I'm to that point where I just need to actually do it and I'll have it.
Yeah, we're getting to that point finally where I think like the people that aren't like the A-team raiders that have, you know, gotten it done right away and the super Sherpas, are, we're kind of getting to the point now where like, and I've gone slower this time, this season, I don't know why, but kind of like my level on down are finally, I consider myself kind of like a B plus, maybe if I'm lucky an A minus raider. And we're starting to get to the point where people like me can start Sherping everyone now. And once we get to that point, then I know it's easier to get anyone through, get the divinity runs going. I'll try to learn that a little bit better myself. It's kind of nice. We're, you know, enough time's passed where we don't have to feel overwhelmed by that raid anymore. It was really nice to go in it and feel, oh, this really isn't that bad. It's really not that hard after all anymore.
Right.
The funny thing is sometimes now the second encounters ending up being the weirdest one that people have problems with, because, you know, there's so many ways you can do that when we have the baseball diamond and you pick, like, first of all, the numbering, do you want to go clockwise, counterclockwise, the people with the floaters, which ones do they go between? It's like, there's so many different ways to explain that one and expectations that people have that I'm almost having more trouble on that encounter now than the third encounter where you do the boss babysitting or the gambit part.
Right.
But it was a pretty fun week doing those raids. I really appreciate everyone. We also almost on Friday night jumped into a D1 raid afterwards. Helios was on the line and we were just chatting and there was some talk and we were going to do a Crota raid and we almost had five people at one point because you need at least five now with the way they have the bridge encounter. So, or you might be able to do it with two, but you can't do it with four from what I understand. But we didn't quite get enough people, but Hazelnut came on the line for a while. We were going to get him in the group, but we just kind of ended up running a few strikes for a little bit. And boy, those Destiny 1 strikes are pretty fun. I don't know if it's just being away from them for a little while or...
like the nostalgia of it, that gets to you?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. So that kind of brought the main topic of the state of strikes in Destiny these days. And we're pretty much going to be talking about Destiny 2, but Destiny 1 might come up a little bit because of some research that I did. And how people feel about strikes. Now, I'm thinking first, actually, let's go through this list of how many strikes there are. There actually, believe it or not, are more strikes than I was expecting. When I first was doing some research on this topic, I was thinking, well, the problem is we just need more strikes. Destiny 1 was better. That's not true at all. Did you know, Sin, we have one more strike in Destiny 2 now than we ever did in Destiny 1.
That's definitely an interesting fact.
Yeah. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Yeah, 17. I just wanted to recount it. So in Destiny 1, there was ever 16 strikes made. In Destiny 2, there are 17 strikes made. So that is interesting. So that, I guess that goes to show there's other reasons why we're not enjoying strikes. I'll get to those in a minute. But let's go through the list. And these are kind of in order of the game coming out too. So in the base game, there's the Arms Dealer, Sabathun Song, Exodus Crash, the Inverted Spire, the Paramedian, and the Lake of Shadows. Then in Curse of Osiris, there is Tree of Probabilities and a Garden World. In Warmind, they added Strange Terrain, Will of the Thousands, and the Insight Terminus. Then in Forsaken, they added Broodhold, Warden of Nothing, Hollowed Lair, and the Corrupted. And then in Shadowkeep, they added the Festering Core and the Scarlet Keep. So that's the complete list right there. If you had to rate a few of your favorites, Sin, do you have a couple that come top of mind?
Well, the Strange Terrain for me obviously comes top of mind just for that simple fact of the grinding it over and over for Bray Tech Osprey during one of the title chases. That to me would probably be number one. I got super familiar with it. You know, the overall mechanics needed to complete it. You know, other than that, you know, I want to say like probably number two and three. You know, Arms Dealer's always got some nice nostalgia as far as, you know, from the base game. You know, that's needed for a couple of the quest items or exotics where you have to rerun it in a different format. So that would probably be either number two or three. You know, Pyramidian otherwise, I think, was a good one overall. I do like a couple of these. There's a couple that I probably would be just like, nah, Broodhold was okay. I didn't really was too hit in the rear with that. But Corrupted and maybe Festering Core would be the other two.
Yeah, good list. For me, honorable mention, if I'm just doing three, but I mean, I guess I can give a couple honorable mentions, but definitely Strange Terrain would get an honorable mention just because even though we've run it so much, I don't mind the strike. It's kind of a fun strike, and we have it down to a science more than any other strike of just being able to run through it and do that one well.
Right.
If I had to pick like my top three, though, probably number three would be Savathun's Song. I always enjoy Hive, and I love the idea of the Big Shrieker at the end. And I like how when you go on that strike, it changes, you know, different corridors that you go in, at least if you're running in strike mode, you know, not necessarily the nightfall mode.
Right.
Number two, I'd give the Festering Core, maybe just because it's one of the newest ones, but I really do like that play space, the lore behind it. It's a fun strike. I like how you get to the end encounter. And the end encounter, I think, is pretty neat too, where you fight the boss for a little bit and then he goes away. And then you have to, and it's a mixture of Cabal and Taken Vex and everything. It's pretty interesting. And then number one, definitely so far my favorite strike in all twos, Warden of Nothing. I absolutely loved the strike when I first played it for nostalgia reasons, for everything. I mean, it's that's that Prison of Elders one that came out with Forsaken. And it's a fun play space when, you know, you're running through and you're trying to avoid the trains that are coming at you. And then you have the Prison of Elders voice talking to you. And then you go up and you're actually in the Prison of Elders arena for a while. And, you know, I wish they'd bring Prison of Elders back or Challenge of Elders. That'd be really fun. And then the boss encounter is kind of fun too. In fact, it's very easy to melt the boss. I actually prefer the legit boss encounter where it plays out more because they throw all these like little mini bosses at you. And to me, I think that's a brilliant orchestration of making an encounter. And they should, I know this would kind of annoy people, but in a way I would actually love for it to be more damage gated or time gated where you actually have to kill the huge Vex guy, huge Cabal guy, a few in line, and then a Hive guy before then you kill the Servitor. That's just my idea. But it's a fun strike. I mean, I'm trying to think back of why strikes seem to be an issue. It's interesting because in Destiny 1, there's only 16 strikes. We have 17 strikes in Destiny 2. And I'm also looking, they had six strikes in the base game, just like I always had six now. And they're kind of following the same pattern, believe it or not. And then they had four in Taken King, which was the big year two update. We had four in Forsaken, which was our big year two update. And then they had one extra one, though, that came out after Taken King. So kind of like five, that April update, you know, the Taken Spring, they added that Blighted Chalice. And then there was two in Rise of Iron, Sepix Perfected, which really was even just a redo of Sepix. So I guess you could say there's only 15 strikes in Destiny 1, really. And then the Wretched Eye. And we have only two strikes in our year three, Festering Core and Scarlet Keep. So I guess I was trying to, I had a different opinion when before I did research. I was like, well, one of the reasons why Destiny is not as good right now is because we just don't have as many strikes, but I can't use that argument.
We actually got more.
We actually have more, kind of, yeah. But you know what they did do in Destiny 1, and this brings up kind of where we'll take this conversation, is there is more reason to run strikes. By year 3, they had added these redo of strikes. So, you know, they brought the Siva into a lot of the strikes and kind of brought back strikes like the Nexus that was not even in strike playlists for a long time because it was kind of considered, I don't know if it's considered broken or whatever, and also the summoning pits, Fogoth. Those are like a couple strikes that they didn't even have going, and then they reimagined them at the end of Destiny 1 and brought them to life. And the summoning pits, you know, they added the original way, I think you went around to the left to get to Fogoth's lair. But then it was funny because Helios and me and Mo played this the other night. Do you remember how they reimagined it? Sin, you actually jump on those tomb ships to get your way across now. They were kind of like flowing you over that chasm in the Hellmouth. I don't know if you remember yes. that at all, but yeah. And that was fun, you know, just changing little things like that in the strikes. So ideal one, what they could do with Destiny 2 is, I mean, if they're going to spend the time, I hope they do, but let's kind of like reimagine some of these strikes. A little can go a long way. Just change like one mini encounter in the strikes. Not a lot. You know, you can just a few small things like that really just brought them alive again and kind of, you can make them harder, or you can do whatever, add modifiers. That's fine.
So what was the strike from Destiny 1 where you're basically running out and you had these doors to open up with the orbs, but at the end of one of them, you could go another way and it opened up an exotic quest, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That was, I think, wasn't that the... one of the Sunless Cell with Alakul at the bottom, the knight down in the pit? Or are you thinking about a different one?
That might have been the one.
I think it was. Yeah, are you talking about the orbs? Are you talking about like in the big arena, there's like a wizard to the right, and to the people would often snipe them and you'd have to stand on those platforms or do something and then...
Yeah, so I remember, I want to say it was you defeat the ogre in this one room and then you like run out. I think this is the way that went. And then you're running back and you have these doors that you have to kill some wizards, kill some hive, get the orbs, unlock the door. And it was one where you would go and unlock the last door to end the strike. But instead you'd go around to like the right and it would take you up and above and you would come around to a,
the ship. Or whatever.
I want to say it brought you up to, and you did a, we've done this in Destiny 2. He's in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
You come up to the room and he's standing on the middle platform.
Yeah. The fallen guy, right?
Correct.
Yeah. This is actually a mixture. You're thinking, I think, of a mixture of a story mission and a strike, because I think the story mission.
That could be.
Is where you come backwards, you run it in heroic mode, and then open that third door. The strike, though, also takes you through that door, but you start from the other direction. And that, I think, isn't that the Winter's Run strike? It's either that or... No, I think it's that one. It could be the Shadow Thief in House of Wolves. It's one of those two, Winter's Run or Shadow Thief, is for the strike. And then the story mission, I forget what its name is.
Yeah, it is Shadow Thief. It's Tanix.
Yep.
Right? Okay. The Scarred Tanix Perfected.
Yep. You're right. Tanix is the Shadow Thief. I know. There's a lot of good memories. The Dreadnought Strikes. I really like the Sunless Cell. I liked Echo Chamber.
I remember Shield Brothers. That was Shield always Brothers. A was so pain. Fun.
Still such a pain on Solar, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. That's like the one time I would actually run self-res to help out. But yeah, a lot of good strikes. I liked the Dust Palace a lot, you know, with the Scion flares, the three that you would kill. I loved the idea of going up in a building, just having a strike that takes you in a building and going up and up. And then we'd have the fun strat where, you know, there's the three Scions, the Solar, the Arc, and the Void. And everyone would just stand next to one with a different sword and just melt them, you know, with that elemental sword. So that was a lot of fun. But you know what also made the strikes interesting at the end was, yeah, they reimagined some, but remember they added, they had strike scoring. We only have, quote, strike scoring in our Nightfalls.
Correct.
They also had all these fun burns. Remember they had, it was like, was it Daybreak or Daylight, where it would give you, it was almost like your super would come back quicker when that modifier came around doing the strikes.
Yeah, I think Daybreaks was the one. Daybreak.
And the loot was not bad. They actually had a fair amount of weapons that people wanted, and you could get them in the strikes, not just the Nightfall versions. And you would use treasure chests. Remember that if you had a treasure chest, or I'm sorry, a key, you could something like that, open the extra thing at the end. I forget all the details, but I just remember there was more reasons, I feel like, to run the strikes.
Yeah. And I know they do use the strikes or certain strikes a lot in Destiny 2 for these exotic quests. And they do change them up a little bit for whatever mechanic they need for that particular exotic quest. But
that's true.
I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia there when you kind of reminisce about Destiny 1 for sure. And what we went through. And granted, I did not play Destiny 1 as much as I played Destiny 2. I've definitely invested more time in 2 than I have vanilla or original Destiny.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a few things they could do if they wanted to really just kick it up. Like, I doubt we're going to get any other strikes, but if they maybe just added another strike, added scoring into regular strikes, added some better loot reasons, some better modifiers, maybe like a Daybreak again, because that's super fun. Because we want to feel super powerful at times, but don't have Daybreak active all the time, of course. And one thing that was nice that they did recently, I mean, this is more from the Nightfalls than the strikes, but you know, with the strikes, you run 3 a week to get your powerful reward. With the Nightfalls, you had to run 5. That was kind of curious, but I believe they just dropped that back down to 3 now to get your powerful reward.
Yeah, I think you're right on that.
A lot's focused on Nightfalls more in D2, but even the Nightfalls, I guess actually the high level Nightfalls, if you're running the, do drop the Ascendant. Ascendant shards. Yeah. And that's cool and all, but I don't always care to have my armor up to level 10 masterwork or my weapons. So let's see if they can figure out something else to drop that's really cool other than just that.
Right.
Even if they just added a few more weapons into the loot pool that are only accessible getting through strikes. And of course, trials, as we know, probably trials is going to be coming up soon. They're going to have to add some there too. They need to make PvP a little more reasons to run it, and strikes also. And a little bit can go a long way. Now, we have a couple questions or feedback that people gave in the Discord. Anything else you wanted to add, Sim, before I pull these up here?
Yeah, go ahead and pull them. I was just pulling up Destiny for the first time in a week and just kind of going through all the notifications. We're right now, while you're pulling those up, we are on the cusp of the last couple weeks, I think, of the season, or at least on the seasonal roadmap. We have, starting Tuesday, we have the next part of the Sundial activities. The Empyrean Foundation is coming. And they also mentioned... Yeah, I think Destiny is now doing something with Twitch Prime.
Yeah, I did want to talk about some of those things too. So let's do that. I don't know all the details with Twitch Prime. It didn't really look worth it to me because I don't have Twitch Prime, and I think you get just older exotics. So it's good for if you're more of a new light player. It gives you some more guaranteed drops you can get. There's a list on what you can get if you look that up. I'm not sure if you just how you get them, if it's just from watching streams or playing the game, and then just if you have Twitch Prime, you'll get those drops. I didn't really look into that.
Yeah, it looks like exotic drops packed with goodies. It's not very clear, but it looks like this first one between now and I want to say sometime in February is a Suros Rasheem. Auto rifle, coupe de main, ornaments, skyline, flipside ghost, unsecured or outcry ship. I mean, it's stuff.
Yeah, it's stuff. Like I said, it's good for the new light players or anyone, I guess, it those things yet. I guess it's good they're doing something with Twitch Prime, but nothing too exciting for a player like me. That's okay. But I did want to mention the Empyrean Foundation coming up. I'm actually getting kind of excited about this. We know a little bit more now. And we also know some potential spoilers. So if anyone, I mean, a lot of this people kind of assuming is coming up. But if for some reason you've been out of the news altogether or don't want to hear this, I would say fast forward 5 minutes. But going ahead right now, we pretty much have been confirmed through posts that DMZ or others have given on social media that they are working to bring Trials back at some point. So, and they've been hinting for a while, so it's not really a question of if, it's a question of when. And then there's been rumblings of it could be next season because there was things that have popped up in the game that seem kind of like a bug for certain people or whatever. It seems like there's been more and more talk that it's probably going to be coming next season. So there's already been a lot of speculation there. Well, now the latest rumor, due to some stuff that's data mined and some more screenshots that are coming up, is it really will be next season as we were kind of expecting. And Empyrean Foundation, as also some people were expecting, will probably be the kickoff event to opening up Trials for next season. Now, we don't know everything that Empyrean Foundation is yet. Does that just mean we're running Crucible or Strikes or Sundial the whole time? That might be a little boring, but hopefully there's something kind of new or slightly different to it. But nonetheless, it'll be this community event. I do like the community event. They have a list on the TWAB that you can look up if you're interested, but of 6 or 7 different tiers that the community needs to get to. And they have only shown 3 of the tiers so far. And if it's going too fast or too slow, they can modify the later levels. Because again, spoiler alert, it's not like they're not going to say we succeeded at the end. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, you missed it by 100. Too bad. I'm sure they're going to kind of modify the goals. And, you know, we have crazy community members that, you know, the people that play all the time that I'm sure our whole community, right, said will more than get enough. What we have to do is we have to donate fractal to the, quote, Empyrean Foundation.
Yeah, and they're saying to make sure all of your obelisks are upgraded at this point.
Yes, that is true. I was going to mention that make sure they're upgraded as much as you can. In fact, you know, for the Triumph, they only have you upgrade it through level 10. But as we've noticed, or level 11 is where you can get all the rewards, but you can upgrade them more. You can keep going and going. And everyone's like, well, what's the point? Well, now we know the point. If you continue to pump as much fractaline as you can into your this week, and even for a couple more weeks, there's some thought of how you should play this out. But whatever your total level is at the Tower Obelisks, which counts all the other obelisks together, you will get that much free fractaline per week. So let's say you've, just to make this easy, you have all 4 obelisks at level 10, and so you have 40 total. I don't know if that means you're only getting 40 fractaline or if it's 40 times a certain amount, but you're getting that amount per week for free. So the idea is, if you can get your obelisk level up really high these first couple of weeks, almost look at it as like an investment. You know, you're putting money into funds or something, and then it'll pay off down the road. I know Lono from Say No to Rage was saying he's going to just pump in, even when Empyrean Foundation starts next week, it's still a four-week event till the end of the season. So he's going to pump in fractaline into his obelisks for the first 2 weeks. And then the last 2 weeks, he's just going to reap whatever comes out of it as rewards, and then any other fraction gets to activities, then he'll donate all to the Empyrean Foundation.
Well, that's definitely interesting.
I don't know if I'm going to do that myself, yeah. But I am going to at least try to make sure I'll do whatever fractaline I have personally into the obelisks and then go from there. I'm not like worried. I guess the streamers are like, come on guys, let's do this. But again, we're not going to get there all together as a community, right? It's not like they're going to be, well, next season's put on hold because we didn't get enough fractaline. So whatever. I just play the practical role.
Man, I think all but one is, I'm just looking at it now. I have all but one completely upgraded to like the level 11 at least.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Nessus one. And I'm at level 8. So I'm right there. It'll just take a week's worth of bounties to complete and I'll have it done.
Yeah. Yeah, no worries. I've been taking it easier this season myself. I still, of course, like raiding the most. And then whenever there's new activities out, I'll hop in them quite a bit. I'm ready to get my savior title, you know, starting this next week. Looks like that's the time gate release where we just have to get, I believe, heroic in Otum and something, one other thing that we're time gated on. And then everyone can start getting their savior titles. Who's been up to date with everything else, if you have everything. So some stuff to look forward to coming up. All right, let's go to, I don't want to forget, because we had some great feedback in our Discord about strikes. I was asking people, if anyone has any suggestions or comments or strikes you like or don't like. And we're very thankful for the feedback we got in here. Mr. Monkey, he wrote, like most people, we need loot or scoring in them. I enjoy the ordeal, but would like to see all nightfalls with matchmaking. Personally love the Fanatic Arms Dealer, and controversially, he also likes the Mercury one. Thanks for that feedback. I mean, well, let's just take, well, I like the Garden World, the Mercury Strike. I don't really like the other one, the Jumpy Cabal Boss. What are your thoughts on those, Sin?
You're talking about the Jumpy Cabal one where...
Yeah, well, that's one of the Mercury ones. Let me look up the name here. That is Tree of Probabilities.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of people didn't like the strikes for Mercury. I think the main reason why is because we always had to go Infinite Forest each time.
Yeah, the Infinite Forest is not so much fun.
Now he would like to see all nightfalls with matchmaking. That'd be interesting. I don't know if that would work on the higher level ones because of you're required to have those anti-barrier or overload rounds to actually get past some of those enemies. So that's why I figured why they couldn't do matchmaking on those higher ones. Although I guess they could just let you not start the encounter unless you have one of those weapons equipped. But then again, then all three would have to have them equipped, and you don't necessarily have to have all three. I like the idea, Mr. Monkey. It's a good idea. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. Wonder how feasible it is. I definitely love, though, that they at least made the lower made, because that was so awesome when we saw that on the lower ordeals. Like, yay, we can finally do some nightfalls without having to bring a team together.
Yeah, I think the matchmaking just for that alone is good. And, you know, it's for me when I'm like jumping on just to try to knock something out really quick. I don't, for that in particular, especially when you're doing these strike specific pursuits or quests for the season, especially when you're going for that, like for now, the title, the savior title, you don't have to rely on other people to be on at the same time. You can go in and do it at your leisure, and then whoever's on, you just matchmake with it. That does make it nice.
It really does. I'm so glad there's at least some matchmaking. For sure. All right. And yeah, of course, like you mentioned, strike scoring would be nice. All right. And then our next comment is from Inept Old Fart. Love the name. It seems like every time I do Playlist Strikes, I get Paramidian, sometimes twice in a row. Also, I wish Bungie could bring back some of the D1 strikes into D2. That would give more room. Hallelujah. I mean, I wish the old greens would come back too, but is that probably going to happen? Probably not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, if they do bring back D1 material, it would be nice. But you are borderline going to be in that range of, you know, being like a Destiny Online then at that point, where you have, you know, unlimited amounts of content to participate in. You know, I know that right now content was a big concern for Bungie, and they're going to be taking some things out over time because of the size of the game, and they worry about whether or not that some of these older gen consoles or those that don't have a big hard drive will be able to support the content going forward. But, you know, I think there would be a way if they could do it, if they just base it on if whatever the content was, they could access via just streaming or server side on their end. It wouldn't matter. And having this amount of content would be nice. You could have all that stuff available to you.
I know, that would be nice. As far as getting similar strikes in a row, yeah, that's always annoying. I feel like it's been a little bit less of an issue for me. I've definitely gotten like maybe like Pyramidian, another strike, and then Pyramidian again. But I don't think I've gotten too many, two exactly in a row for at least quite a while. I'm sure some people do. It's got to be hard. Have you gotten a few in a row?
Yeah, I've run into that before.
Yeah, I definitely have before. You think about it with the way matchmaking works, and let's say you've run Pyramidian with yourself and you have your team, and then they bring in a different team to you because, you know, you don't always keep the same people because they may log off or connection problems or whatever. And then let's say for whatever reason, the closest people to match with you, they've already run a bunch of other strikes and they haven't run Pyramidian yet. So do they just have them do one that they've been recently, or do they have you do Pyramidian in a row? It's kind of tough. I wonder how they decide how it's going to work out. So I can kind of understand, but there shouldn't be a reason where you get it too many times in a row. Hopefully they're still working on that. That is super annoying when that does happen. All right. And then our last comment is from Arm the Sharks. He says, strikes are the most redundant activity in D2. I really disliked having to do any of the content that forced me to redo any strike I've done more than three times already. I'm not even trying to be negative about the game, but there's little to no strike. This really takes away from what can really be entertaining quest gameplay because the strikes are so monotonous. I also agree with Mr. Monkey as well. There's very little incentive to do them. The loot is mostly rubbish. Plus, for Nightfalls, you have to have your own squad. Not to mention, it feels like there are only six different strikes. Most of them feel like chores as opposed to entertainment. Yeah, I mean, I felt like there wasn't that many strikes either. And then I looked up and I was surprised there's actually a lot. But doesn't mean you're not wrong on feeling kind of like, yeah, there's a little bit of that getting the same ones in a row. And I feel like there's a lot more strikes in D2 that we're just kind of with. Again, maybe people are feeling that way in D1. But I feel like when I was even in the middle of D1, I enjoyed running strikes at least a little bit more than enjoy running them in D2. So something's going on.
I think that a lot of the issue could stem from the free-to-play players who might be, you know, queuing into the strike playlist that might not have the content unlocked. You know, if these strikes are tied to the paid content from the different seasons and they don't have access to them, and now we're matching into a pool of players or first light players that don't have access to them, could that potentially be the issue?
Yeah, it could. There really could be a lot of things going on. For me, I would still way rather a strike any day of the week, even if I've done it a million times, for a quest than Gambit or a Crucible. Everyone has the things they like in the game. I understand the people that do Crucible. But strikes, even though they're monotonous, you could say you can also have fun too if you bring in interesting loadouts of weapons. You never know who you're going to get match made with, whether it's some pleb that just stays in the back and you're like, well, I'm just going to run forward and it'll be a little more interesting because there's only one or two of us working at it. Or all three of you are like super effective and just pumping through it really fast. Sometimes that can be fun too.
Yeah. And I think I lean more on the side of like trying to press through it, even if I'm trying to get kills or whatnot for the particular seasonal quest lines. I'd rather press through it, you know, because when you're in there for too long, it can have that monotonous effect, especially if you aren't queuing in for one that you haven't done in a while. And what you said earlier, what, 17 of them?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're doing, you queue in twice in a row and you get the Pyramidian, you're like, man, this kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're just done. And again, the strike scoring would probably make it a little more interesting because you can have any game strikes. You're trying to actually get score and kill all the enemies before you move on to a strike for getting better loot at the end.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, it's a fun topic. We'll see where this goes with Destiny. If year three will be ending Destiny 2 before they move to some Destiny 3 or Destiny Online, or if we'll get more going forward. Who knows? And hopefully they can. I have so many ideas of what I'd love for them to do some more in this year three. I think they should reimagine the raids and reimagine the strikes. And on Guardian Down, Chris was a guest over there. We've had Chris on our show too. Great guy. So I recommend everyone also listen to the Guardian Down podcast. They're great friends of the show. And he had a discussion with them talking about raids and how he feels like raids are not accessible to people as much in Destiny 2. I agree. I've said this for a while. They should have the normal or the easy mode, whatever you want to call it, have unlimited revives, just like there was in Destiny 1. That's probably the biggest problem of any other problem, people not getting raids done and not feeling incentive because they know it takes so much longer, right? Like if we're running out of revive tokens, you have to redo encounters a lot, where if you could just continually revive each other, you might actually have a chance of passing that encounter without having to restart the encounter over and over until you actually have gotten it down.
Yeah. Yeah, wiping is definitely a big thing with the with revive tokens. Once you get to that point, it's like, nope, you got to wipe now. I can't revive you.
Mm-hmm. But don't just do this for the players that don't have experience with strikes. Also make a harder version of what they did Destiny 1, the 390 raids. So, you know, we haven't really had any prestige raids for a while. They just have these challenges, which is whatever. So you should make a easier normal mode, the regular mode, and mode, or a challenge mode. And right. I really think that'll bring the raids back to life. And that idea, along with reimagining strikes, and then I think we'll be in a better place.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. And they haven't done anything for the next season yet, right?
No, they haven't, other than just all the rumors, Trials. We don't know what will come with it, I'm sure. Even if Trials is coming, that won't be the only thing.
So while we were talking, back to the Twitch Prime thing, I did claim the first one. I linked the accounts and got it. They do send the exotics to Amanda Holiday. And for this time around, it was the Soros regime. There is the it looks like it's mostly Warmind. There's one that's a looks like the a Ford ship that's kind of like Zivified. It kind of reminds me of like the Outbreak ship. And yep. They all go right to her to be able to claim. And it does look like the Soros drops at the current base level 960.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
That is cool, yeah. So if people need that, or if you have Twitch Prime, you might as well. All right, yeah. Well, anything else we want to talk about Destiny this week? I think mostly covers it. Looking forward to next week and see what we have coming up.
I think that does pretty well cover it.
Yeah. So we want to thank everyone who posted those suggestions in our Discord channel. And again, if anyone has any suggestions of other topics you want us to discuss or guests you want us to try and get on the show, please let us know. And we will do our best to make that happen.
Or not.
Or not. And then, yeah, that's it for this week. We don't have any other yet. So as always, if you've not left us a review, please do so on iTunes. It helps us get found and we will read it on the air.
Yeah, leave us a review if you have any suggestions, as always, for guests or people that you would like to hear from. Please let us know.
And it's been fun. We've actually, you know, it was kind of a ghost town there for a while, people getting grouped up to raid. But then this last week, it's really picked up again. So I just want to remind everyone, too, if you're listening to this podcast, but have not joined our Discord, please do so. You do not have to be active. There's no requirements. You can just be a lurker. But I really feel like the Discord, and other people will agree with this, too, is the best place to correlate playing with others. You can, sure, you can just message people on your friends list on PlayStation or on Steam. And if you have friends you play with, great. But if you're looking for other things going on, please check into the Discord and you'll find requests for group ups all the time. Well, I've talked a lot this week. You've talked, Sin, and we probably should wrap it up so we can get this out there.
Stamp of approval on it this week. Mm-hmm. And as always,
where can people find you?
Stay fresh.
Stay fresh, yeah.
The people can find me, as always, on twitch.tv/sinmedia, typically where I stream once per week, and over on Twitter at sin_media. Kingsley.com.
Oh, no, that's not what it is.
Tell the good people where they can find you.
Yes, you can find me as Kingsley Mac on PlayStation, on Steam, on Twitch, but on Twitter, you can find me as MC Kingsley.
And when are you going to change that, by the way?
Well, you can't.
You can change Twitter. You can change your Twitter handle.
Well, I can't force take the one that I want.
No, just should like I can't force take the one I want.
I know. I mean, if people have suggestions, I don't want to be something lame like Kingsley Mac 1 or something like that. But if someone can come up with a cool idea, I'm willing to consider it. Please let me know in the Discord. But for now, it is MC Kingsley, which was my old gamer.
McKingsley.
Yeah, McKingsley. Yep.
You can always go with Kingsley _ Mac.
Yeah, I guess. That wouldn't be horrible. I just don't love the idea of underscores. And then you still have to differentiate it. You know, you're like, I'm Kingsley Mac on everything, except Twitter, I'm Kingsley _Mac. So I'll see. I'll think about that.
Damn the internet and having so many variables and having so many people stealing what we want.
Yeah, but I will highly consider that. Please, people, if you have any suggestions, write. If you agree with Kingsley _Mac or any other suggestions, then I will take that in consideration and see if I change it. You can find our show, at least our show, we have the exact names we want. Our website is theguardianhub.com, right? Perfect. It's beautiful. Our Twitter is The Guardian Hub. What more can you ask, Gorson? The best hub on the net.
I was getting ready to say that. We're the best hub on the net, so you can't ask for any more.
Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in another week. We really appreciate you listening. Have a good week and good night.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.